Today's readings are from Ecclesiastes 4:6 and Proverbs 22:7 from Ecclesiastes. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. And from Proverbs, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. You may be seated. I was telling Jesse, we can just go home now. We were at church, right? Some of y'all are thinking, all right, nah. You'll get home early anyway. No problem. As Jesse sort of alluded to, and as our scripture kind of reminds, we're in this series called Unburdened, being unburdened in lots of different ways, from stress, from the weight of comparison, from the desire to always have more and more and more. So we're looking at that and what the scripture says to that and how we might be free from those kinds of burdens. And so we started with the principle last week, and the principle was less is more. And it kind of undergirds the kind of our theme scripture for the series that we just heard a moment ago from Ecclesiastes. And what did it say again? Let's say it together. Let's put it up on this. There we go. Together, it says, better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil chasing after the wind. And if you were with us last week, I said, so it's one handful rather than two handfuls, because if we got two handfuls, it's hard to do much else, right? If our hands are always, if we're stressed out, if we're always, because we got so much, it's hard to help someone else. Both our hands are full. So one handful, so we can have another hand to comfort somebody, or to help somebody, or to respond to a need. So one handful rather than two handfuls, because two handfuls bring us nothing but toil, and it's like chasing after the wind. We'll never get to the point where we always have two handfuls. So that's kind of our theme verse, and so less sometimes is more. We let go, cut back, clear out whatever, so that we have only one handful. Because with two handfuls, what we find ourselves is most of the time we're stressed out. And stress is a bad thing, right? Anybody love stress? Okay, I hope not. Because it really is bad. And let me tell you, when it comes with both our hands are full, I've never had this. Has anybody ever said this? Or have you ever experienced this or heard this? And that is, ever since I've got into debt, my marriage is so much better now. Right? Never heard that. Now that we got all these payments, we never fight. Every time I go to bed at night, I just thank God for my high interest. I've never heard anybody say, why? Because all that stuff gives us stress, doesn't it? Yeah. No, but I have heard people say, and I've said it, and you've probably said it, I wish I could help more. I wish I could give more. I wish, I could, one of us could stay at home with the kids. I wish we could travel more or whatever. Because we got all this stress, because both our hands are full, those are wishes. We got all this stress. And that's just because it's so prevalent in our society, just to be honest. So I was working on this, and I was doing some research this week, and found that, according to like MarketWatch or USA Today and other media outlets, 57% of us in the U.S. and Americans, we live paycheck to paycheck, right? 57%. Average retirement, Motley Fool says the average retirement savings here in the U.S. is $87,000. Now, that varies by age, race, education, all those kind of things. But the average is 87. The younger you are, obviously, the less you have, right? 35, 44, that's about 45, there it is. The older you are. But even at 64, in retirement, 65, 66, 67 maybe, and you only got 185, you're not going to be retired for very long, are you? Right? And so that just, what does that do? That adds stress to us. And 30%, 36% of all Americans don't have any retirement savings outside of Social Security. No wonder the American
Psychological Association
Association says that 8 out of 10 Americans are stressed out because of finances, because of money and things like that. So imagine if we could unburden ourselves from some of that, what life would be like. And it's not about just having more of something, because you can have a lot of money and still be stressed out. Right? So it's not about that. It's really how we understand it, how we approach it. And so there's the practical side to it, and then as people of faith, there's the spiritual side to it as well. Because when we're stressed out, when both hands are full, it hinders our ability to serve God, to be grateful to God. It hinders our ability because we're stressed out all the time. Because that becomes center stage. And that becomes what we're most of the time focused on or about in some way, shape, or form. And so that's why the proverb says, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. Because when we owe, that's who we're, that's who we're in bondage to. And that's who we're serving. And so that's why we say, less is more. All right? Stress is bad. And so this morning, I just wanted to share three prayers that maybe will help recenter ourselves a little bit, or at least to bring this maybe to think about it and pray about it. And the first prayer I think we need always to be praying is, hey, God, give me self-control. Right? All right, so let's say it together. God, give me self-control. Exactly. Why? Because like a city whose walls are broken down is a person who lacks self-control. We don't have any self-control. We're defenseless, aren't we? Defenseless against temptation, accumulation, whatever it meant. All those kinds of things. And so our prayer is, God, give me self-control. And the reason we need to pray that is because all of us, I think, to some degree, all of us have this little 2-year-old kid inside of us. You know what I'm talking about? You ever been in a grocery store, you're in a 2-year-old, they see something they want, what's the usual response? Can I get it? Can I have it? I want it. Why? I want it now, right? All of us have this two-year-old little kid inside of us that screams, I want it. I want it now. And I'll give you a personal example from this, okay? So my kids are always asking me, hey, Dad, what would you like for your birthday? What would you like for Christmas, Father's Day, whatever? And you know what? I don't know what to tell them, okay? And I don't tell them. I never tell them anything, hardly. But I have noticed that now that all my kids are working, that the gifts have gotten a little bit better. just saying. They all got jobs after school or whatever now and things. So they've gotten a little bit better. So I thought, you know what? They always ask us. And so I just kind of casually mentioned this past year, I'd like to get have a new TV down here for the den. Just kind of casually mentioned that. Birthday came around. No new TV. Like, all right, I'm good. Christmas came around. No new TV. Father's Day came around. No new TV. And I'm like, I don't know why they asked then. But we all got this two-year-old little kid inside of us, right? So the next time I was in Wally World, I just happened to peruse and check out the flat screens there. And I'm like, wow, these big ones aren't that expensive anymore. It's like, But you know what? We had a summer vacation coming up, and we wanted to go visit one of our daughters who's studying abroad here this fall. And it's like, so we really, we don't really need a new TV. Well, one weekend, I think Mindy was out of town, my wife Mindy. She was either gone or out of town on a Saturday. And I had to go get some milk, and so I went to Wally World to get milk. Well, on my way to the milk, guess what you pass? All the new TVs. And so I'm walking by the new TVs, and I'm telling you, just like out of the scene from Field of Dreams. All right? I'm going past the TVs, and I hear this voice saying, it'll be okay. It's like, wait a minute, but I'm here to get milk. All right? So I go and I get my milk and I'm coming back by And there's that voice again. Ease your pain, right? Go the distance. But I only came for milk. So only milk. So I get my milk, and I check out, and I buy my milk and my new flat screen TV. Everybody say, God, give me self-control. Exactly. And so sometimes we have to say no, don't we, to that two-year-old little kid that's inside of us. Right? Why? So we can say yes later on, maybe for something else. And so I don't know how it might look like in your life, but it may look like, you know what, you don't get your nails done every week. Right? Maybe you don't go quite as often. Maybe you love to play golf, and you play golf twice a week, and so maybe you play only once a week, or you don't play at the very real expensive country club, you play at the less expensive one. Maybe you need to say no to the $7 cup of Seattle coffee, right? And just use the grocery store brand or the gas station brand or whatever it might be. Or maybe the 10-year-old in your family doesn't really need the new iPhone. Sorry, folks. Right? Some people think it's child abuse not to get their kid an iPhone at 10, but maybe you just need to say no to that. Or maybe rather than the brand new car, because you like the brand new car smell, you keep driving, the old car with, the sandwich that's still in the back that's, starting to smell a little bit and things like that. Maybe we need to say no a little more often, all right? So we don't have maybe so much financial stress. So maybe say no now so we can say yes farther down the road. So God, give me self-control. Less is more, stress is bad. Give me self-control. First prayer. Second prayer. All right? God, give me understanding. So let's pray this one. God, give me understanding. So my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Yeah. A lot of times we find ourselves in bad situations, or especially financially. Why? Because maybe we ignored it, or we just didn't think it through, or we didn't do whatever it might be. A lot of times when folks are buying big things, the questions is not how much is it, it's how much down and how much do I pay per month, right? And then we find ourselves, covered up. So I did some research. We'll have some fun with some numbers this morning. So people who have credit card debt, the average amount of debt today for a family is about $11,000. Some of you are going, oh, thank you, I'm not that bad. Right? Some of you are going, Jesus, oh gosh, I wish it was. But, right? So $11,000 is the average. So I want to play with some numbers and show you how, things like, some of you know this stuff. I know, when you're in Charlotte and you're speaking to people in Charlotte, there's always a lot of bankers, okay? Usually, I know we have bankers here and things, so just use my good online little calculator there. And so this is just my attempt, okay? Y'all can get after me later about it. But let's take the $11,000. You owe the $11,000, and so you decide you're going to pay $200 a month. So you got a balance owed $11,000, interest rate, and I think I'm probably being generous at 19%. But you expect to pay monthly, you make a monthly payment of $200 per month towards that $11,000. How many months do you think it's going to take you to pay that off? A lot. Let's see. 131 months. You know how long that is? That is 10 years and 10 years and 10 months, roughly. And so if you only did $200 a month for those 11, guess how much you're going to pay in interest? $15,000 on top of the $11,000. Sometimes, it's knowledge, right? Now, if you only paid the minimum per month, and a lot of times the minimum is, what, $40, $45? You say you got to pay that. So I punched that number in, $40 another month. This is what my online calculator said, and this is exactly what it said. Yes. Well, why is that? Because your interest is more than $40 a month off on that there. So you'll never pay it off if you just did the minimum there. All right, so now let's take the, all right, so let's say, all right, we don't have $11,000 in debt. We got $11,000. All right, so what are we going to do with that? Well, lots of things. But let's say we took that $11,000 and we just simply invested that. All right. So it would take almost 11 years to pay it off if you did $200 a month. So what if we invested that and we just laid it aside and we didn't do anything? We just forgot about it. So we just take, hey, $11,000, boom. You just go over there for a while. And let's see. We gave it the 11 years and I'm being, you know, actually, all right, 10% is just easy to calculate. We don't add anything to it. After 11 years, that $11,000 all of a sudden become $31,000 without doing anything. But say if we took the $200 that we were paying toward the debt, and we took the $200 and we just kept adding to the 11 over those 11 years at the same interest rate, what would we have? We'd have 78, over 78. Pretty good. What if we said, well, let's just do the $200 and we'll just do it for 25 years, and after 25 years, we'd have... Now, you would have contributed about $60,000 of your own money plus the 11 that was already there, but you still end up with $365. And again, that's a generalization there, but it just shows you how interest works, doesn't it? Compound interest works. So sometimes it's simply about the knowledge and the understanding. That's why with my oldest, who's a school teacher in her second year of school teaching, here's what I made her do. I said, okay, X amount of dollars gets drafted from your paycheck, you never see it, and it goes straight into retirement. I said, and don't ever touch it, don't ever think about it. And I guarantee, if you do that, by the time you retire, you'll have close to $1 million from that one account. If, you know, everything tracks and trends the way they have. Things that, so it's amazing. When taking a little bit of knowledge and the discipline and the self-control, how it can relieve us from some of that stress. And we're not always with two hands full, but maybe just one hand full. So God, give me self-control. God, give me knowledge. All right. And the third prayer is this: God, give me a plan. So together, God, give me a plan. It's because the plan and the diligent end up in profit, but those who hurry end up with loss. That Hebrew word translated for hurry is, I felt sad and I went shopping. No, but not having a plan, you end up in a hole for sure. So, because here's what I think we kind of need to realize. We can wander into debt, but we're not going to wander out of it. Let me just say, it's not going to happen, right? We wander into it all the time without really thinking, but we ain't wandering out of it, okay? It's not going to happen. We can mistake our way into it, make a bad decision, make a mistake, but we're not going to mistake our way out of it. It's going to take a plan. You know, we can find ourselves in a bad situation, not of our making, right? Economic downturn, COVID, all kinds of things happen to us. But you know what? We're not going to magically get out of that hole, even if we didn't create it, without a plan. So it's amazing how scriptures speak to this. God knows, right? You need a plan. You need the plan. This morning I wanted you to hear from one of our own here at St. Stephen, who they and their family, they went through some bankruptcy themselves, and listen to how they struggled through it.
Good morning. My name is Chris Withrow, and I'm sharing part of my story of faith, finances, and navigating the stress that accompanied a near disaster for my family. In 1949, my grandfather established a real estate development and property management business. My father grew it into a multi-state enterprise, and I joined full-time in 1991 and assumed primary responsibility shortly thereafter. For 21 years, my career focused on expanding our business. Then the 2008 housing bubble burst, and we became a casualty of the economy. I'll never forget the sarcastic banker who suggested that the cleansing waters of bankruptcy would be the only way we would survive. Those words, while true, horrified me, but they also made me realize that, used responsibly, bankruptcy was a way to reorganize. I believe that iron sharpens iron. Those bankers' words became my motivation. I also believe without my reliance on God during these dark days, I could have been led down a path of sin and despair. 19 employee families, literally thousands of residents, and my family, including two small children, depended on every move that I made. The stomach acid factor was real. My mantra became, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Those are familiar words for many of us from Proverbs chapter 3. And I realized that let go and let God was more than just a title. It was His will for my life. For 8 years, the federal courthouse down on West Trade Street became my second home. Operating our business while navigating Chapter 11 reorganization was my harsh reality. Our business filed in January 2011, changing the course of my career, my finances, and my faith. Instead of laying off staff, I hired additional help and assembled a strong legal and financial team. Indescribable stress and sleepless nights were part of the equation, but God came through. He carried us, He saved us, and He guided my steps. He surrounded us with supportive friends and gave us this church. In early 2019, 8 years into this nightmare, we ended the bankruptcy. We had won the financial battle. And ironically, shortly thereafter, more than 300 came through looking at our business. Labor Day weekend 2019, we sold our once again thriving 70-year-old business to a real estate investment trust. It was both fruitful and surreal, almost as if we had received yet another act of God's mercy, because I cannot imagine us being able to survive the just around the corner COVID-19 pandemic. There are a couple of takeaways I want to leave with you. First, when you look at someone, you really don't know what's going on in his or her life. And as Christians, we have to be kind. And from the membership vows that we teach our confirmands to support this church with our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness, we have to remember that these are the things that edify our relationship with God. For Phaedra and me, giving is one way we get joy and we give thanks to God. It's also an act of praise for us. God wants to know us, to love us, and it's up to us to seek Him through all the experiences that life throws our way. Prayers, attending church, giving are spiritual and tangible ways to honor Him. My heart is grateful, my life has been blessed, and God brings us the ultimate peace. Blessings, my friends.
So two hands full, right? And Chris and Thedra most definitely had two hands full. And all the stress that came along with it. But you know what? They didn't magically get out of that. They weren't magically able to let go until they actually let go and let God, right? That's what they said. Yeah? Didn't magically happen. And it's because of their hard work and the plan that they had that, you know, got their business out of that bankruptcy and things like that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, Chris said. That's why it's spiritual, isn't it? Not just practical, there's a spiritual side to this as well, because God knows that, you know what, if it's just the practical, then, you know, that stress is going to be there. Until we can trust and learn to let go, you know what, one hand versus two. We have some self-control, right? God gave us a brain. We use our knowledge. And we make a plan. We invite God in on that plan as well. That's when we become unburdened. So what's our verse again? Let's say it together. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for who you are, that you are forgiving, you are a redeeming God, that we don't always make the best decisions. Many times both of our hands are indeed full, and we find ourselves stressed out. So Lord, I pray that you would, that you would give us self-control, give us understanding, help us, walk with us as we put in place a plan. So that why? So that we might honor you. So that you might better use us to make a difference. So Lord, you've given us your all. You've set us free from the spiritual bondage. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us set us free from bondages of this world, whether they be financial or whatever they might be, so that we might fully live into who you called us to be and better reflect that image. For it is in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.